I belong to a small Bible study group down in South Denver. My son-in-law and some other men are involved with that. Bud knows about it. But what they do every week is they go through a chapter of the Bible. They sit and read it. And then when we pray about it, then they sit and read it. And then they share what the Spirit of God has put on their hearts, as of this morning in this case. So that's what I'm going to ask you guys to do. I'm going to just kind of facilitate. And what I want you to do this morning is read John 15. I'll give you about 10 minutes to do that. And the best part I've got, I just pick somebody and say, Bob, would you tell us what... Maybe Bob. Well, there's two Bobs, so I'll have to determine which one was. But either one will work. You were pointing to him back there. So I'm going to go ahead and sit down in my spot over there, and I'm going to read it as well. And then I'll get back up here. And just pray about it as you read it. Take notes if you like. But that gets all of us involved, and we hear something that the Spirit is speaking to each of us this morning. So time's on, guys. Chapter 15, John 15, excuse me. There's a lot of chapter 15s, I guess. Well, I can see there's only a couple of you still chewing, so everything's okay then. I won't call on you right away. How's that? This is the easiest part for me this morning because I'm not going to do much of anything. That's up to you guys to offer what you have, what the Spirit of God's put on your hearts this morning. These are all words of Jesus. And so the opportunity is for you to share what you've learned from this lesson this morning, from this chapter. Earl, go ahead. Start us off.
Well, I think to start with, talking about the vine bearing fruit. In other words, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't get to see the Lord. What I got out of that.
Okay, that's a good start. So it suggests the vine and the branches to some extent.
I have a question that always nags me, though.
Uh-huh.
And that is, say you're back in some urban China and you've never heard of Jesus. What happens to that soul? And that's always bugged me. Maybe somebody can answer.
Maybe somebody's got an answer for that. Ed?
I think it's interesting the way he starts is, I am the true vine. If you look back in Isaiah 5, it's talking about Israel being the vine. Jesus is changing it. He's saying, I am the true vine. Not the nation of Israel. He moves away from that congregational idea.
Okay, the old covenant and the new covenant kind of suggestion. Yeah, look at me.
Look at the nation. Look at me.
Gotcha. Okay. Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, for me, it struck me because this is the time of the year when my house or at the farm that my family has, going around and we're cutting dead branches off. So I can see that part of it, they're not producing fruit. It's not a good branch. It's dead. It's just taking up space. It's going to cut it off, mm-hmm. get rid of it. But for the ones that are fruitful, he's pruning. And I think, that seems painful.
Good point.
He's pruning even the good branches so that they can bear more fruit. But it also seems kind of painful in the process of getting there. And the way I look at it in my life is, okay, so God's going to prune me. He's going to discipline me. He's going to try and sanctify, get the sin out of my life so that I can be more effective for the kingdom. But, Ed, there's going to be some pain involved in that. And that's kind of what I was thinking.
Thanks for sharing that. That's a good analogy. It sets the tone for the rest of our conversation because it is pruning. It is changing what we thought was good and the best And all of a sudden, Jesus says, no, that's not it. Carl.
The study here is, this is just minutes after Jesus has given Judas that grip and sent him out the door to betray him. And so all these years he's been coming to Jerusalem and telling people, my time has not come, my time has not come. Well, here it is, the time has come. He just initiated by sending out his betrayer. And the things have started to roll. So to Ed's point, there's going to be some pain in his next 24 hours, okay? There's going to be great suffering, okay? So it's perfectly appropriate that he starts this with, I'm the true vine, okay? I don't look to national salvation, look to individual salvation. And you're either connected or you're cut off. You're either connected or not. If you're connected, you're going to bear fruit. If you're not, you're going to be tossed aside, burned up. So he gets started in this almost last message to his disciples, okay, by speaking all this whole chapter is about relationships. You're connected or not, you're loved or not, you're rejected or not by the world.
Pretty harsh to read, too, isn't it? Bob Dugan.
Yeah, kind of just going along with what Ed and Carl were saying there. Yeah, we're two chapters away before this high priestly prayer that we praise for us in chapter 17. But I'm thinking of the pruning. You know, the pruning is difficult. The pruning, the trials of our life sometimes are really pretty hard to bear. And of course, our prayer is that we come out of those trials, you know, stronger than before. And when you look around, well, when you're in the crucible, it's pretty hard sometimes. And then you look at others and you think, that maybe have gone through even more than you have, and you think, wow, Lord, isn't enough enough? So it is. Trials when you go through, it's tough. Not easy.
And maybe to add that, when you think about it, what would the first natural thing that I might do or somebody might do is question what Jesus is saying? Are we going to accept the fact that Jesus is the one that's doing the pruning? Is what he's pruning, is that okay?
Yeah.
John?
Yes. Because
it's a good way to start.
The gardener is in charge of the whole vineyard, and the vineyard is all overgrown and not productive and junk. It's good for nothing but to be burned, and a gardener takes good pride in that vineyard and wants it to be healthy and productive. So anyway, he just like starts off with I am, like, wow, that's a pretty good start, and then not like it's not just anybody but the true God. And like, so this is the role, and then the father is the gardener. The father's in charge, the gardener's in charge. He's the one that's going to make that whole vineyard beautiful and healthy or not. And of course he wants it to be good because it's his vineyard. We all want to tend what we have and make it good. We don't live in a house and let all the paint peel off and the shingles fly off. Maybe the wind is broken on a crack. We take care of it. Yes. Yes, the answer.
Burn and then tear you.
I was traveling merchants yesterday too, about trees actually. About 2 weeks, and when we came back, our lilac bush was glorious. And I was cutting some dead limbs on the tree yesterday. You could hardly see them, but we have been on there some dead ones. So I cut those off. And then we took some lilacs over to some friends of ours, Ray Fallenberg said, make sure you, or done blue, and make sure you hit those back too, because they'll bloom better next year. So it's, you know, even if they're beautiful and glorious, still some.
Continuous. There's no stopping. If you do it once, it's not going to cure the problem down the road.
Then there's also a scripture that I looked at because I remember the scripture that this is when Jesus is praying to the Father, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and who they sent. So again, that's that beautiful bloom that has accepted Christ.
Okay, good. Thanks. Vern Terry?
I give a number of large trees, maple trees in our backyard, and they were for a trimming that I've done months ago. A lot of different pieces of kind of over our neighbor's backyard a little bit, talking with the guys the trimming. They trimmed a lot of dead stuff off of us. It brought up the point that, you know, getting those dead branches off the tree allows the other branches to be able to look better. You know, so dead branches really were holding back the rest of the tree. But you're, even from the standpoint of negativity, branches that are not working towards, you know, towards the detriment to the rest of the tree.
Good comparison, and I'll get your name right, Kerry.
Sure.
Well, I have help over here from time to time with my ability to do stuff. It was one other thing. We're digging into the first eight verses. What about the rest of the chapter? Steve, you're going to help with that.
You kind of hit me at the end of verse 18. The world hates you, you know, as you go down through there, it's so interesting where he says, if I had not spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse. And if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen, and also they hate both me and my Father. And I'm just thinking the shifting off vine and the branches. It's always troubled me a little bit when the Lord said it would be less, judgment would be less for Tyre and Sidon at the end than it would be for them that he's talking about. Judgment will be less for Sodom and Gomorrah. They would stand judgment compared to them. They never saw the works that I did. And so watching the Chosen series and going through, following that and everything, I'm just thinking about how the religious leaders are starting to get a really hard back. They are, no matter what they see, whether they saw the healing of the full pool of Bethesda or what they saw, it was immediate back to the law and not paying attention to the Lord. So I don't know, I was just kind of thinking about that. Because you wonder, Sodom and Gomorrah standing in judgment or something, how could that be? Well, they never had the opportunity that they have been said in Jerusalem to see what the Lord.
So, anyway. The opportunity we have today.
Yeah.
We have the words right in front of us, and yet the pruning still goes on, doesn't it?
I want to can I jump on to that for just a second?
Sure.
What the Jews saw Jesus perform were four messianic miracles, right? The miracles that they understood only the Messiah could do. And they saw him do good. And if you read Matthew 12 at the end, when Jesus finally does the fourth miracle, the people said, can this be the Messiah? Now, it was a rhetorical question. They were saying, we now recognize this fourth miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And what the leaders of the church said was, he's raising the dead by Beelzebub. He was calling the work of the Holy Spirit the work of the devil. Mm-hmm. That became the unforgivable sin. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jesus began to lose, he lost all hope for trying to convert all the people. And that's when he began speaking in parables so that no one else would understand. So all of that goes back to the point, Steve, about the Jews. They actually recognized, but then they decided they didn't want it. And that's why he was so upset.
Gosh, nothing's changed today, has it?
It's worse.
It's getting worse. There's no doubt about that. Rocky.
Yeah, I take this personal. The first scriptures here. He is the true vine. I am a vine. But he prunes me, and I can see that he's pruning me for good. Even though it's hard, I'm growing. I'm growing in him, and I don't like to be pruned, but we all want to be pruned. So there's a lot of times I go, oh, thank you, Lord, and have another. You know, and the more he does that, the more I grow closer to him, the more I see more of him. So pruning is not a bad thing in my point of view. But it's all personal. All this here is personal. Do I trust in him in all things?
Yeah, it all pertains to every one of us sitting here this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Wayne, how about you? What have you got on your heart this morning?
Well, the Lord must be wanting to impress some things on me because I read this particular passage just this morning. anyway,
that's when you're the sharpest.
Yeah. After I had a little coffee.
That's right.
There's a lot here in this chapter, obviously. I'm impressed with the fact that there are requirements of us. I mean, God makes promises that he fulfills. You know, he's faithful. He will fulfill his promises to nourish us as we abide in him. But we have the responsibility, it's right down to saying, he will do this if we follow his commandments. So that's a responsibility, and the commandment that he mentions is love one another. As he has loved us, which is, of course, humanly impossible, but that's what we strive for with his help, is to love one another. And then his life flows through the vine, Jesus, to us, the branch, and then we bear fruit. Bearing fruit. Next question is, what is fruit? We think of Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all of the rest. And we definitely have a responsibility ourselves in this whole equation. And Lord help us with that.
Well, glad he talked to you this morning. That's good.
Yeah.
But that is the truth. And that's every day. We have the responsibility. God is there for us, but we have to do our part,
right,
no matter what that is. You know, we've had a lot of pruning and trimming and stuff. What about passages under the section, the world's hatred? Yeah. What do you all see there? Gary, what did you find in the scriptures this morning?
I just asked myself the question, because he doesn't give an answer, why does the world hate him? Do you have an answer to that?
I just pass it off to the rest of these guys.
Yeah.
Say jealous. There's a Satan.
I just like that. Input that says it's the why the world, you know, hates God.
Well, the scripture says because their deeds were evil and he was good. So the evil cannot stand looking at the good because the reflection is sin. And we're going to die of our sins unless we come to Christ. So one of the things I was thinking in there, in regards to our responsibilities, is do you want to? You really want to follow him? We have these things that we're responsible for. But why do you want to do it? And it goes back to his secret, which says, I will give you a new heart. I will cause you to walk in my statute. God's telling us what he's going to do for us and showing us and moving us in that direction by the building. Okay. So he's doing this work. And he says, you have to abide in me. If you don't, you can't do anything without me. And it's a one of the things I'm getting lately, which I struggle against, it's all in. You ever heard that term? I'm all in. All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. He's the king right now. Okay? And he's saying, you know what I want, guys? I want you all in.
Warm.
Yeah. All these scriptures. And that's our prayer. Grant that I might be all in. I'm dead and my life is saved in Christ.
Carrie, I'm a slow learner.
I'm having a bigger problem with the
it's all right.
You know, Jesus required a response from us. You know, he wasn't wishy-washy. He said, I'm the way and the truth and life. And he gets in your face and requires people to make a decision. And it made me think, you know, what's the one word that you almost never hear, whatever, and that's Jesus. Mm-hmm. You don't reference God, perhaps. Jesus is he's a lightning rod for people, because if you really look at him, he says, either are you with me or not? That's not.
Bird?
I read a good story about that yesterday. It was a high school graduate, a girl who was going to give the valedictorian speech. And she turned in her notes or her speech, and the principal or the superintendent, whichever, made the decision, you can't use God or Jesus in this speech. Well, there was pushback finally. In a day or two, they let her do it. And I remember when I was in high school, at the we had a Christmas concert, and we had scripture up above the curtains of the auditorium. So that's how things changed. But it'll always get pushed back.
Well, that's part of. I'm sorry, somebody said something.
That's me.
Oh, you again.
I find it comforting that he first chose me before I was even born. So it doesn't matter what he does to others. What matters is him with them. I know what he called me, and not worry about what he's doing to them. Because if he's going to put me in their life, he wants to use me as a vessel. So I don't want to get stirred up because he doesn't have it and doesn't have it. I just want to witness to be like him. That's all I'm called to do.
Sure.
So everyone's already called.
Doesn't the second part start to answer what Gary's asking about? What did Jesus say about the world? If you just look at the next section in here, the world's hatred. What do those words say? And those are from Jesus, just like the first part is.
So there's a theme in John where he talks about Jesus being light and will be. This is just one more echo of that. Men love the darkness because their sins are evil. They hate the light because it exposes them. I guess that's the short answer. But men hate Jesus. It puts us on the spot.
You know, or I remember Jesus says to the Pharisees and whatnot, and I'm screwing this up, okay? So
now strike that from the video.
You're following your father, the devil.
Yes.
You know, and I think it comes to a point is your father is either God or the devil. And the lines, there used to be a lot of gray, I think, in there. It seems as we get closer to the end, it's becoming more distinguishable. Mm-hmm. You know, who your father is. And if the world doesn't hate you, then we have to evaluate. Are we tapped into the mind?
Right. So,
I think center of an hand, but
I was gonna get go ahead, Dale, and then, but I wasn't ignoring you. I'm sorry, you were next.
Okay.
Doesn't look like it, right? My back's turned to you. That's not good.
Well,
go ahead, Dale.
Laying up thoughts about God's after the guy he loves, the people that he loves. And then was talking about the world and be aware. And be aware of your surrounding. We're surrounded by darkness. And things in the dark light. Eagles, snakes, scorpion. Be aware of the darkness. And there's just a real story there for me. We just came through a thing with Israel get involved, and now they say there's the ceasefire, but and I watched this watchman thing, and I've heard that mentioned here, and the watchman says, well, the Palestinians and the Iranians, those guys ain't altogether truthful about a ceasefire. There's even the next attack. And so it truly says, watch out for stuff, right? You know, in the, what is it, 16 and on further? And so I think it's a big thing that Israel was getting involved here last week. And then is the ceasefire, is it true? Is it not? I can't answer that. But there's a lesson to be learned there, and it could come out of Thessalonians that the hour and time is there.
Go ahead, Bud.
Well, let me say a couple of things. This is a very, very important chapter for me. But we started our Christian walk, regardless of what our ages are, we had a little song called, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, or the Bible Tells Me So. Very foundationally. And as we go into the 26th and 27th verses of this chapter, we see that Jesus is offering the hope, the Holy Spirit, is giving the strength to endure the unreasonable hatred of this evil world. Jesus uses two names for the Holy Spirit, Counselor and Spirit of Truth. The word Counselor conveys the helping, encouraging, and strengthening work of the Spirit. Spirit of Truth points to the teaching, illuminating, and reminding work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministers to both the head and the heart, and both dimensions are important. Therefore, as we look at 26 and 27, we get the confirmation that Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are constantly with us, because as the scriptures as the world hated them, and now they hate us. And so we see in the 27th verse, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning.
Good, thanks, Bud. Well, and probably that answers a little bit of what Gary's question was. That section, the world's hatred, evil. all of the stuff that is negative to God in Christ and the Holy Spirit. We probably couldn't answer that any better, I don't think, unless you just want to do a lot of delving in and find some more scriptures, which are good. There's nothing wrong with that. But what's happening to the younger generation today? Well, actually, maybe we're through at 7:45, is that right? Okay, well, listen, I congratulate you guys this morning because this is what you need more of, I think. The interaction between brothers, between the sons of God, between the saints, because we're identifying as saints, and that's the reality of who we are. And it's tough to be a saint these days unless we look at the scriptures. Without this book, we have no better, we have no roadmap. This is it. And the rest of it is the world, and we don't need to have any more of the world than we've got today. But we will have more of it, unfortunately. But we can also have more of this. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you allowing me to do this. And you don't need to clap for me. I'm just a facilitator. So, but if you want to, it's okay.